position.
One thing in school. But this is not human, human life. Human life is not meant for man.
So the camel is a kind of animal that takes pleasure in eating thorns. A person who wants to enjoy family life or the whole of the worldly life of so-called enjoyment is compared to the camel. Materialistic life is full of thorns, and so one should live only by the prescribed methods of Vedic regulations, just to make the best use of that bargain. Life in the material world is maintained by sucking one's own blood. The central point of attraction for material enjoyment is sex life. To enjoy sex life is to suck one's own blood, and there is not much more to be explained in this connection. The camel also sucks its own blood while chewing thorny twigs. The thorns the camel eats cut the tongue of the camel, and so blood begins to flow within the camel's mouth. The thorns mixed with fresh blood create a taste for the foolish camel, and so he enjoys the thorn eating business with false pleasure. Similarly, the great business magnates, industrialists who work very hard to earn money by different ways and fashionable means, eat the thorny results of their actions mixed with their own blood. Therefore, the Bhagavatam has situated these diseased fellows along with the camels. The ass is an animal who is celebrated as the greatest fool even amongst the animals. The ass works very hard and carries burdens of the maximum weight without making profit for itself. The ass is generally engaged by the washerman, while whose social position is not very respectable. And the special qualification of the ass is that it's very much accustomed to being kicked by the opposite sex. When the ass begs for sexual intercourse, he is kicked by the fair sex, yet he still follows the female for such sexual pleasure. And hence, man is compared therefore to the ass. The general mass of people work very hard, especially in the age of Kali. In this age, the human being is actually engaged in the work of an ass, carrying heavy burdens and driving tela and rickshaws. The so-called advancement of human civilization has engaged the human being in the work of an ass. The laborers in great factories and workshops are also engaged in such burdensome work, and after working hard during the day, the poor laborer has to be again kicked by the fair sex, not only for sex enjoyment, but also for the so many household affairs. So Srimad Bhagavatam's categorization of the common man without any spiritual enlightenment into the society of dogs, fox, camels and asses is not at all an exaggeration. The leaders of such ignorant masses of people may feel very proud of being adorned by such a number of dogs and fox, but that's not very flattering. The Bhagavatam openly declares that although a person may be a great leader of such dogs and fox, disguised as men, if he has no taste for being enlightened in the sense of Krishna, such a leader is also an animal and nothing more. He may be designated as a powerful, strong animal or a big animal, but in the estimation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is never given a place in the category of man on account of his atheistic temperament. Or, in other words, such godless leaders of dogs and dog-like men are bigger animals with the qualities of animals in greater proportion. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses praise these men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. So, Hare Krishna. This is a very nice verse and the purpose, very enlightening. So, what I suggest is that we listen to Srila Prabhupada's lecture on the point, which is only 10 minutes long. So Prabhupada was giving classes on that, very short and very simple. And you know, sometimes just by hearing Prabhupada's classes, we may wonder, you know, how Prabhupada managed to, you know, be so effective if he was giving such short and very basic classes on the philosophy, right? Without going much into details. And the secret can be revealed if you read Prabhupada's conversations and morning walks or listen to them. Because actually Prabhupada's, you know, secret of success was that he was using the art of empowerment, and it can be effective on one-to-one basis. So he was because, you know, as we know, one man's food is another man's poison. So there are no single recipes for everybody, of course, except few like Jati, Hare Krishna, etc. Right? But you know, many things are effective only on one-on-one basis, and this is what Prabhupada was doing. He was elaborating on different details of application of Krishna conscious philosophy, talking to individuals like that. And so this is his secret of success. He was taking personal care, and he was developing people personally. And you know, my feeling is that he would achieve a lot of success by adopting this Prabhupada's technology, success technology, right? So, but anyway, we will listen to Prabhupada's class on the topic, because the topic is very important. And so Prabhupada is elaborating on a certain point. So let's listen to what he has to say. I think it will work.
The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, third chapter, text number 19, given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Recorded on the 14th of June, 1972, in Los Angeles, California. Yeah.
dog. A dog have had fought with me, very strong, stout. But unless it has got a master, its life is very precarious. Dog. Just see our education at the present moment. Very advanced education. Many Indian students come here also to take advanced education. But actually, if we consider this education creating dogs, why? Because our technology is too heavy. If you don't get a suitable service, all your education is finished. Therefore, after education, you will have to write application. My dear sir, I am such a such qualified dog. If you kindly give me some service, you can take 10 instead. Just imagine. If my education, it becomes independent, just like miracles, the Brahmins, the Chakriyas, the Vaishyas, they're independent. The Shudras are compared with the dogs because they cannot live without the master. Brahmin, do you not accept anyone's service? That is general. The Chakriya will never accept anyone's service. The why is more matter of Kurukshetra was there. They, the gurus, they took away the whole kingdom, all the Pandavas. But they are Kshatriyas, are very lean. Therefore, the fight was necessary. The Kshatriyas must be, must have some lands to collect taxes. That is the Kshatriyas' source of income. The Brahmin source of income, Patan, Parthan, Jajan, Jajan, they must be learned scholar, they must teach others, they must be devotee, and teach others how to become devotee. They must take contribution and must pay for it. This is Brahmin. No service. Formally, no Brahmin sir. Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they were born in high-class Brahmin family, Saraswat Brahmin. But because they accepted the service of Nawab Hussain Shah, immediately they were rejected from Brahmin society. It is by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that they again became Goswamis. Otherwise, they were rejected. No Brahmin could stay service. And especially service of a low class man. That is, in Bhagavad you see, especially that if a Brahmin is in difficulty, he may accept the profession of a Kshatriya or at most of a Vaishya, but never take the profession of a Shudra. What is the profession of Shudra? Shudra is Parijatyapakam Kacham Shudra Dhamma Svabhavadam. One who is hankering after service is Shudra. He has no capacity to lead independent. The Brahmin, real Brahmin, he is starved. He will die out of starvation. He will never accept anyone's service. That is Brahmin. He has no income. He will go on the field, but the grains are kept. Some grains fall down. They pick up all those grains and leave on them. Still will not go to anyone. Then I'm having to give me something. No. Unchal. So, our education. Why we are so independent? Because the education was very high, basic education, satisfied with Brahma realization, Brahma Bhutta Prasad. 3 or 4 years ago, when I was a Brahmin, very religious Brahmin, in Krishnagar, near our Manapur. Brahmin's business, he was teaching. So the king of that place, then the big Jamindra, Raja Krishna Chandra, by his name, that place is called Krishnagar. So he heard about the Brahmin, very learned Brahmin, but very poor. So he one day came to him and asked him, Brahmin, can I help you anyway? So he said, no, I don't require any help from you. And he was so about his thing, you have no sufficient me. No, I have no problem his thing. My students then get some arms of rice. So my wife boils the rice and here is a covering tree. So I get some leaves and boil it on reception. Where proposition? He said, why? Whatever is coming automatically, that's all. It doesn't require any higher standard of life. Any moderation is inspired with lies and terror induced. That's all. So each and every home or money, this independence was very much valued. So at the modern education, this independence is being key. People are becoming unemployed. Machine, high technology means you must find out a job where technological machines are there. Otherwise, you will starve and you have to go from factory to factory. Will you give me some service? No one can. So, I will discuss further next time.
So I hope everyone's enjoyed it. It is said that maximum attention span of the people is 20 minutes, so it was only 10 minutes class. Hopefully everyone stayed alert for that. And so I think these points, I mean, Prabhupada is very direct, isn't it? Sometimes we can't even afford being as direct as Prabhupada. I have my experience. I was in one country, in Israel. And I just made this point briefly to the devotees, because the discussion was around that. I said, Prabhupada is very clear about devotees. He never wanted the devotees to work for the salary. And because devotee means Brahmin, Brahmin means independent, right? And so I was saying that, you know, it's good if not immediately, but at least, you know, we start planning for that. We start planning our life in such a way that we actually achieve independent position in life, right? No more dogs. Occupation, no more sugar work, no matter how high degrees we have. And you know, after I left, then after some time, I saw the temple president on that yatra. And he said it was quite amazing the impact of your words, because few devotees immediately left their jobs and started, you know, doing their own business. And one devotee had a very well-paid job, and he left it immediately. And his wife was completely shocked, and she said, you know, why have you done that? And he said, well, you know, Uttama Sloka just came, he made this point that devotee is not meant to live like a dog, serving, you know, people for salary, And so I decided to immediately stop it. And the wife was very upset. She said, okay, but now how do we get, you know, money? Because, you know, it will take some time for you. And he said, I don't care. And just, you know, start living independent life. And then she said, you know, who invited this guy to the city, to the town, like that? You know, without him, we had no troubles. We were living peacefully again, and he spoiled everything. Like that. So, yeah, this is very important point, but, you know, it's also important to understand the application of it in our lives. That I think Srila Prabhupada also gave an example of a caterpillar moving from one leaf to the other one. The caterpillar will never leave the previous leaf without grabbing very firm grasp of the next leaf, right? So that means whatever position we are in, you know, this is good, you know, these are good points in Srimad Bhagavatam and good points from Krishna consciousness to understand, you know, because oftentimes we say, you know, all these, you know, condemning verses, dogs, hawks, camels, asses, these are for outside people, have nothing to do with us, you know. We chant Hare Krishna, we are perfect, we are pure. But Prabhupada's words are very enlightening, right? That many, many things Prabhupada spoke, like one point was very strong, he was very strong at Mayavadi, right? Prabhupada was anti-Mayavadi. And so he was speaking so much against Mayavadis, and one devotee in America, you know, he kind of asked Prabhupada, you know, he's speaking so much against Mayavadis, and I hardly see any Mayavadis. I mean, maybe this is case in India, they have so many Mayavadis, but here in America, we hardly have any Mayavadis. Prabhupada looked at him very soberly. He said, you are Mayavadi. So we have to understand, you know, that all, you know, first of all, Bhagavatam is meant for devotees. And so, rather than think I'm so great and other people around me are so fallen low, you know, which is of course not very conducive mentality to have for Krishna consciousness, that, you know, the proper attitude is that, what's wrong with me? What I can improve to come closer to Krishna? And, so one thing is, you know, one extreme is to think I have nothing to improve, I'm already devoted, I'm already perfect in all respects, right? The other extreme that, oh yes, I'm very fallen low, and I cannot even improve, and so I should just live like that. I'm lower than the grass on the street, so I'm just lying down. I'm very humble, you know, but I'm always in lying down position. But because it's little, make a little chill at night, so I'm covering myself with a sleeping bag also. And I'm standing up only for taking prasad. So this is another misapplication, right? That one extreme is that we think we have nothing to do with it. Another extreme, we think we cannot do anything about it anyway, right? So both extremes are excuses, not actually to work on improving our position. And but devotee means that we need to see how to improve, how to achieve that expectation Prabhupada has on all of us, and also how to help other people in the same. So a little bit fast how much attentive you were in listening to Prabhupada's, this short Prabhupada's lecture. And Prabhupada said that in order to achieve that independence, you need one very important thing. What is it? Anyone remembers? What is the key to achieving that independence in life? Anyone? That's interesting, man. Krishna consciousness. But what specifically? This is one important point I want to emphasize. That if you want to be successful in life, who wants to be successful in life? Let's raise hands. Okay. You have to be specific. Unless you are specific, you will not achieve much. Right? So, the more specific you are, the greater the level of your success is. So, and Prabhupada said very specific point in regards to Krishna consciousness, but Krishna consciousness is, you know, quite vague term. So what specifically in Krishna consciousness which makes us independent? Self-esteem, Prabhupada hasn't spoken about self-esteem in this class. Something else? Any other ideas? This is interesting, right? It was only okay. Okay. Brahmanas will not accept any services. They would rather die than accept serving for remuneration. So, okay, this is closer. So there is one word which is specifically connected to brahminical activity and which in Prabhupada's definition will make you independent in life. What is it? Education. So Prabhupada said education, spiritual education. This will make you independent. This is why Srila Prabhupada was stressing so much that, you know, Hare Krishna movement is not just a sentimental movement. This is educational movement and cultural movement. So, and he was also saying that Krishna consciousness is not just another religion. It's a spiritual science. So science means education. These two things are interrelated. That's why we see, I mean, we have a number of Raghunath Maharaj disciples and followers here, right? Anyone who is a disciple or follower of Raghunath Maharaj? Please raise your hands. We're going to see how many are there. Okay, few. We can see an example of Chaupati. How do they achieve their success? What is their main method of achieving success? Systematic education. Systematic spiritual education. Right? And then everything else comes from that. And so... I'm very much interested in... this, so that's why I'm trying to make my presentations in Krishna consciousness in a very systematic way. And it's very interesting how actually researchers in outside world, they move ahead that we're not even aware of it. I spoke with one devotee in Australia, and he's professional in terms of success technologies, and he worked for some time with Stephen Covey and
works with different people like that. And you know, we spoke and he said, what is exactly, what is the field you want to develop yourself? And I told him it's education and training. And so I wanted him to give me some, you know, whatever contacts and information in regards to this subject, the latest development in this field. Because he's aware of all this. Is that education and training is the thing of the past now. Now they use, you know, like next generation step is development. And he explained what is the difference between, say, education is theoretical, right? Training is practical. So training will be much higher than education. But he said development is higher than training, because training means I know certain good things and I will teach you how to do this, right? But he said development is that you understand what are the strong points in that person you develop, and you help that person to bring out his own potential like that. So we can understand that this is even more in line with Krishna consciousness, right? Because what Prabhupada was saying about Krishna consciousness is not something artificial which has to be, you know, brought from outside. It's a latent in everybody's heart. And has to be reawakened, right? Perfectly in line with the scripture. Shabanadishu dechita karya udoi. Nitya sida, Krishna prema. Sadhya kabhuna, shabanadishu dechita karya udoi. That Krishna prema, pure love of God, is eternally dormant in everyone's heart. And it can be reawakened through the process of Shravan Bhakti, through the process of Mahavita Bhakti, starting with hearing like that. I'm also stressing this point that Krishna consciousness means Buddhi Yoga. So we have to really learn how to use intelligence in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise we're going to get stuck if we just think that Krishna consciousness, you know. It is very important to understand, I think, how Krishna consciousness is different from religion. Because it seems to be religion, right? There is God, there is worship, all these rituals are there. But then at the end of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord himself declares, Sapadatma Pavikya, abandon all varieties of religion. So, how is it that Krishna consciousness is different from religion? What is the difference? What is the difference? As Bhaktivinoda Purna Maharaj explains, the entire Bhagavatam is dedicated to that one point, how Krishna consciousness is different from the other religions. And so basic difference is very simple. Right? We spoke with Gopinath Acharya Guru about this point in the video. You remember what is the difference between Krishna consciousness and mundane religions? What is the attitude of religious people towards God? How they want to see God as their portal somewhere, right? And also, they want to treat God as their, you know, trash can. They want to bring all their problems to God, and they want, you know, all the goodies in exchange, right, for their problems. It's a good deal, right? You bring your rubbish, you take everything which is nice from birth, right? But Krishna consciousness is completely opposite, right? Whatever good things you have in life, you give it to Krishna. And your rubbish you can keep with you. Because your rubbish is meant to teach you a very good lesson. How, you know, live pure lifestyle without producing rubbish. So it's completely opposite way around. That religion means God for me, right? And Krishna consciousness means? I am for God. I am for Krishna, right? I do not need anything from Krishna. Why? Because he already gave everything and more to me, right? And I only need to understand it, and to develop that understanding, I need to connect with him primarily, or starting from the chanting of his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All the, you know, this is the, you know, they have this brain building exercises, so chanting Hare Krishna is the main brain building exercise. This is very good. How to survive if nobody will pay me any salary? This is $1 million question. Why $1 million question? Because you can hardly see any people who get salary of $1 million, right? But there are many more self-employed people who, you know, get many millions, right? So it just means we have to learn to become more responsible in our lives, you know, because employed means shared responsibility, right? That somebody else is responsible for my life, and that person is, you know, using me and, you know, taking certain profits out of me and paying me certain percentage, right? But self-employed means I'm responsible for my own life and for my own maintenance. That's it. Krishna consciousness means minimum self-employed, minimum level. So, and if we're not there, if we're not there, we have to strive for that. So, how to do it? There are billions of people around the world who do it. So, if they have done it, and they're not even necessarily Krishna conscious as such, you know, if they have done it, why can't all of us do it? What is the difficulty? There is no difficulty. There is a will, there is a way. But I heard also another very smart saying, those who want it, they look for opportunities, right? Those who do not want, they look for excuses. So, if you really want it, there is so much information, knowledge, and opportunities available for that, right? Self-employed means, you know, you have your own business,
this would be the bottom level in Krishna consciousness, right? The higher level is that you manage other self-employed people, right? And the top level is that you work on developing value system in those who are managing other self-employed people and some self-employed people too. Okay, so this would be in modern terms. Just to help us understand how Krishna consciousness would be relevant to our modern situation. But again, for that we have to get out of this, you know, religious, you know, mundane religious mentality that we're just following some religion and it has nothing to do with my life. No, Krishna consciousness is very different. Krishna consciousness means this is my life, not just a religion. So, I don't know if you think this answers yet.
If you are self-employed, that means you are a businessman, that means you are a Vaishya or a Brahmana. Can a Brahmana be self-employed? So here, at this point, when we say someone is self-employed, we say he's a businessman. And when you are a businessman, you will employ someone else. So you are making someone else a Shudra, working for you. So, I mean, are we Vaishyas by being self-employed or Brahmana by being self-employed?
Well, again, I'll re-emphasize the same point that self-employed means businessman, yes. Businessman is Vaishya. Then, training how people can become self-employed. No, managing self-employed people and you know, supporting them by resources, this is Kshatriya. And training, educating, training and developing people into becoming self-employed, this is Brahman.
So we train someone to become a businessman.
You don't have to train people necessarily to become a businessman. You can train people into trainers and teachers and developers. You can train people into becoming managers, but independent managers, not managers working for the company. Or you can take, you know, train people, educate and train people to become self-employed. Again, depending on what people incline towards, according to their level of consciousness. So, but for that, in the first place, we have to become independent. Because independent means, you know, I'm my own boss, I manage my own time and resources.
So Brahmana is basically a teacher. Brahmana is basically a teacher. So that is his profession. So
yes. Well, Brahmana, according to Vedic definition, has three main professions. It's teacher, spiritual leader, or charitable worker. Because these are three main areas of Brahminical activity, right? Patna Patana, Yajna Yajana, Dana Pratigra. Yeah, you heard about this? Six occupations of Brahmana. So Brahmana either does education and training, and he's also learning himself. And because, say, this is what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to develop myself in that way. Nobody supports me financially, by the way. You know, I only support myself through volunteer donations. I'm not charging anyone for anything. And you can see, I'm not starving.
I can travel around the world practically pretty much throughout the year. So, you know, what's so special about me? If you look at me, hardly you can see any qualifications. And so, this is why yesterday I said that, you know, you have to, you can take that inspiration. If such a person like Thomas Vokadas can do that, you know, I mean, all of you can do so much better, so much more, right? And the world needs that. There is a very big demand. And so, yeah, these are the three primary occupations for the Brahmana. Either teaching and learning. Also, in order to be effective in what I'm doing, I have to learn. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be boring. Not only for you, but for myself also. I'll be bored to death myself if I want, you know, to learn and develop myself. And then yajna yajana, that in spiritual activities, take lead in certain spiritual activities, because yajna means any activity done for the pleasure of the Lord, basically. So education is theory and yajna is applied knowledge, practical. And then dana pratigraha. Dana pratigraha means Brahmana is collecting donations. Naturally people understand that if somebody does Brahminical work, he doesn't have any other sources of income, just donations, and so they support that person through donations. Naturally, say, if you're interested in me doing what I'm trying to do for you here in Singapore, if you want me to come back, I'll have to pay my airfare, for example, and stuff. Naturally, if you're interested, you would give whatever support you can, right? And but oftentimes, because Brahman is supposed to live very simple lifestyle, not much possession, so whatever excess donations he gets, he's distributing that. He's giving those donations, redirecting those donations wherever is necessary for other spiritual purposes. Like that. So these are main duties of a Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was actually saying that this world has everything. The only missing thing is a head. Right? And head is Brahmana is the head of the world. And so, you know, it is very important for us to set ourselves a goal that we have to become a Brahmana, not just wearing a thread, because thread, one devotee joked, you can put a thread on a chair, doesn't mean the chair will become Brahmana. Right? Well, Prabhupada joked that the thread is only costing a few paisas, well, a couple of rupees these days, right? Not a big deal. You know? Doesn't mean that just by having a thread I become a Brahmana. But, you know, we should set ourselves a goal to become a real Brahmana by definition, by Shastra definition. Like that. Goal for this lifetime. At least, minimum, right? Become a Brahmana. Hopefully, even Vaishnava also, right? Now we have the opportunity, but we have to explore it in order to get to that. Yeah. Thank you. So, how do we do it otherwise? We have to stop. Anyone else has any concluding words? Yes, no, maybe. Very good. So, yeah.
After Vedic civilization, Shudras don't distribute donations proper people who are working, at least in devotee communities, if they are utilizing their sources of income to spread Krishna's holiness, it is better than Shudras or Skeletons.
Shudras were not giving any donations in Vedic culture, you say?
Well, I'm not sure if Shudras were not giving any donations. In Vedic culture, everybody was giving donations. Because these are three primary activities for the human being, as we discussed yesterday: yajna, dana, and tapa. And yajna is meant for the Supreme Lord specifically, dana meant for everybody else, and tapa is meant for me. Right? So this is how it is distributed. And so it is good that whatever incomes we have, we try to use it as best of our ability for Krishna conscious purposes. But we always have to think how to do more, because it is a very dangerous thing to become satisfied by your achievements in life, right? Because there is very smart American saying, very useful for us, that green is ripening, ripe is rotting. You heard this one before? Very smart, right? So basically, as soon as you stop your attempts to improve your position, you start deteriorating, right? As soon as you think I already achieved whatever I want to achieve in life, then means that you are already on the highest level. So Prabhupada was very equivocal about this. Pride, what is that? Pride comes before the fall, right? So that's why we should never stop. I think in the professional world there is a term. What is that? CPD, Continuous Professional Development. Yeah. So we have to have also, we have to have CPD also, because Krishna consciousness, we have to become professionals in what we do. According to Prabhupada, he said, devotee is the one who knows something about everything, but everything about something. Right? Means that you know about so many things, but you become professional in one specific area. Right? So we have to have this, but also we have to have CSD, continuous spiritual development. Like that. So we should never become satisfied and complacent with what we achieved in life. One famous person, Michelangelo, Italian, very famous artist and sculptor, of course, he said his prayer was, "My dear Lord, please grant me a boon to be never satisfied by whatever I achieve in life." Right. Of course, taking into spiritual context, because he was obviously devotee, right? He was praying, my dear Lord. So, because whatever we achieve, we use it for Krishna, so we should never become satisfied by our level of spiritual advancement and by what we give to Krishna, to Guru, to the Vaishnavas. You know, we should never become satisfied. We should always strive for perfection. And this is not even highest perfection we discuss. It's, you know, I know I have so many things to work on. So it's not enough just to become, you know, just to do the Brahminical work. I mean, from here to become a Vaishnava, I have light ages to go. So so, but this is very minimal, very basic level. And we have to stress for that. Yes. Does it answer? Okay, so we should stop here. Thank you very much. Grantarasana Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Prabhupada Premanande. Singapore Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhu and Mataji. I'm sure all of us have been benefited by association of